Hello and welcome to Korean Context. My name is Nicholas Hamasevich, Director of Research and Academic Affairs at the Korea Economic Institute of America, and I will be your host today. The Francis effect is everywhere. Time magazine named Pope Francis their 2013 Person of the Year. Another magazine dedicated specifically to covering Pope Francis has been started in Italy. And politicians and leaders are trying to use the Pope's messages as support for their own causes. The Francis effect will be large in Asia this year, as the Vatican announced that Pope Francis will visit South Korea in August. Moreover, with the canonization of Pope John XXIII and Pope John Paul II on April 27th, this gives us an opportunity to examine the last time a pope visited South Korea as well. In this episode, we talk via Skype with Father Dennis McNamara of Georgetown University about John Paul II's 1984 and 1989 visits to South Korea, the progression of Catholicism and religion in Korea, and potential themes for Pope Francis's visit in August. Father Dennis McNamara, S.J., is the Park Professor of Sociology and Korean Studies at Georgetown University. He is also the Special Assistant for China Affairs to Georgetown University's president. He serves as a member of the Council of Foreign Relations in New York and chairs the weekly Korea seminar at the Foreign Service Institute of the United States State Department. In Asia, he serves as an adjunct professor in the Graduate School of International Studies at Sogang University in Seoul and lectures at Renmin and Fudan Universities in China, Waseda and Sophia Universities in Tokyo, and Thammasat University in Bangkok. Father McNamara, what do you expect will be some of the main themes or messages at the canonization of Pope John XXIII and Pope John Paul II?
Well, I think there will be some differences from the earlier visits of Pope John Paul in 1984 and 1989. One of the differences will certainly be that Korea itself has changed a great deal. A second difference will be that the Korean church, the Catholic Church, has changed a great deal. But overall, I think we're also going to see that the Pope Francis, as he has done in the past, will be addressing global issues in a way I think that earlier popes perhaps have not had as much opportunity or as much need. And among those global issues certainly will be peace and peace in the region. So I suspect that the Pope will be addressing Korea's rapid development, a new role in the world, especially as an economic power. Secondly, its role in regional integration in East Asia and what it means for the Catholic Church in East Asia. And thirdly, the hope for greater peace in the world, but particularly in East Asia.
So looking at John Paul II himself, what do you think was the significance of him being the first non-Italian pope in centuries, and how much do you think this affected his outlook and efforts to travel to so many countries and then travel to Korea twice?
I do think that was very important in the papacy of Pope John Paul II. It was his experience, I think, in Poland, his experience of an authoritarian regime, his experience of the Catholic Church finding ways to survive, his experience of helping to build and foster Catholic institutions, whether parishes, schools, healthcare, other institutions, within a very difficult environment that made him particularly relevant for places like Korea, but not just Korea, other places in the developing world. So I think it was not only his energy and his imagination that brought him out to different countries, but also his experience. And I think that experience resonated so deeply with people outside the established advanced industrialized economies that made a great deal of difference for those countries, a great deal of differences for those churches.
That's very interesting. In both of his trips to Korea, Pope John Paul II made a point to reach out to other religious leaders in Korea, saying that the Catholic Church wanted fellowship and dialogue with these ancient religions and traditions like Buddhism and like Confucianism. How important was this type of dialogue to John Paul II?
That kind of dialogue and ecumenical dialogue was, I think, very important for John Paul II across the world, but particularly as he goes to Korea in a papal visit. He will, of course, have a visit with the president. 1984, of course, remember, Korea was still under a relatively authoritarian regime. The Catholic Church had played a major role in the democratization movement. So there was some tension between the Blue House, the president, and the Catholic Church. But Korea has had a tradition, at least in the past 100 years, 150 years, a relatively peaceful relationship among religions, very much unlike India, for instance. Religion has not been a divisive force in Korea. That has been very much continued with the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, the Christian churches in Korea since 1945. They played a very positive role in education and healthcare. A lot of social organization kind of ministries on the local level, which has been very positive for the country, and I think it's well appreciated in the country. I think when Pope John Paul comes to Korea then in 1984, it's a time when Korea is being recognized globally as a very important church, but also a time when the Catholic Church globally is coming to Korea and trying to establish its and gain recognition as a positive force for the country.
I see. How does, when Pope John Paul II went to Korea and he made saints of the 103 Korean martyrs during his first visit, I mean, how does that play into that dynamic that you're talking about with the Catholic Church coming to Korea, the development of religion in Korea at that time? How significant was naming those martyrs as saints and in that development and in that thought process of Catholicism in Korea?
On the local church, on the side of the local church, very important for establishing and recognizing their history and their tradition. Mm. And that has been continued today with the shrines being built to those martyrs, and celebrations of their holy days in Korea. It's a time of identity formation in Korea, which has been very important, very significant. If you think of it in a wider sense, however, of relationships with the country, the nation state of Korea, it is somewhat embarrassing, you would think, for a Catholic Church leader, global Catholic Church leader, to come to Korea and to celebrate and recognize that these people have been killed in this particular country. I think for Korea, it was a great period of maturity in terms of their own history, recognizing that these things did happen in their history, and yet accepting that the Catholic Church is playing a major role today and coming out of that history, actually a very distinctive role in Korea's modernization and interaction with the West.
So you're talking about the role that the Catholics have and the Catholic community played. How important was the Catholic community in the democracy movement? I mean, that 1980s, when Pope John Paul II is going to Korea, that is a big time of the democracy movement in South Korea. So you know, you talked about its social aspect and social movement in Korea. How about in the democracy movement as well?
The Korean church played a major role in the democracy movement, and if you think of Park Chung-hee, of course, the Korean leader from 1961 to 1979, the father of the present leader, Park Geun-hye, you realize that Park Chung-hee was the most prominent figure in Korea, and the second most prominent figure in Korea was Cardinal Kim Soo-hwan. Cardinal Kim Soo-hwan of the Catholic Church in Korea had become the most prominent Catholic leader in Asia, but a remarkable leader in Seoul and in Korea, and a remarkable balance to the authoritarianism of President Park Chung-hee. So the Catholic Church had played a major role in Korea's democratization movement, especially in balancing policies of Park Chung-hee, played a major role in the labor movement, played a major role in rural organization. Catholic Church, of course, was strong in the rural areas originally from the late 19th century right through the mid-20th century. only later in the urban areas. So the Catholic Church had a tremendous organization, a fabric of organization in Korea that was very important in the democratization movement, but it also had a kind of authority or recognition centralized in the cathedral in downtown Seoul, Myeongdong. That gave Cardinal Kim a tremendous leverage with President Park Chung-hee, and I think was critical in the relatively peaceful evolution of Korea's democracy.
What other leaders or democracy movement people were looking to Cardinal Kim or were partnering with him on these issues and in that balancing role?
Well, it was a curious time, 1961 to 1979, because of Korea's rapid economic development. Also, its very close relationships with the United States and with Japan at the time. It was a very curious time because Korea's political development was both very important internationally, given threat from North Korea and the need for security on the peninsula, and very important for international markets. So that the emergence, the evolution of democratization in Korea was not solely a domestic issue. Here on these international issues, the Korean Catholic Church played a major role. But in terms of directly answering your question, their role was usually in tandem with the, for instance, the urban labor movement, which was basically a Protestant-led movement. Mm. Oftentimes, the Catholic Church was cooperating with the World Council of Churches out of New York City in both publicizing what was going on in Korea and exercising global leverage on some of the more authoritarian policies. So Cardinal Kim was not just a representative of the Catholic Church. He was a figure in Korea that drew together, especially the Protestant groups, the Protestant urban groups that were also standing against some of the authoritarian policies. But he was also not a polarizing figure such that he was not talking with the Buddhist leadership or the other groups in Korea. So it was a time in Korea where you had remarkable solidarity among some of the opposition groups, not the radical opposition groups, but the more moderate opposition groups. And that's where Cardinal Kim played a role.
I see. When you talk about the development of religion in Korea and how for Korea there is a sense of acceptance and understanding of different religions in the country, I mean, how do you see that happening now in Korea? I mean, does Korea promote its religious freedom or do other people look to Korea's example with religious freedom and how it treats religious organizations in its country?
I think Korea, within the country, first of all, there's a great deal of secularization with Korea, as you might expect, with growing economic development, a declining number of children, marriages in Korea. Korea is changing very fast. The religions, the variety of religions, provide a basis of values within this change, together with values coming out of the wider and long Korean tradition. But the religions are not divided in such a way that they're pulling people one way or the other. They're really trying to deal as a group with the changes going on, the rapid changes in family, in social customs, in mobility, even in the changes in Korean population now, with the growing number of foreign-born naturalized citizens. These are tremendous changes going on in Korea. So the issue of churches fighting against each other really is not an issue in Korea today. Rather, the issue is trying to deal with secularization. Now, as other countries looking to Korea, the second part of your question, keep in mind that Korea is now per capita, in terms of Christian per capita, the largest missionary country in the world. And if you add to that philanthropy in terms of the money, the support they are giving missions across the world, Korea is just a remarkable missionary country. Now, among these missionaries, we have had incidents where some are pretty radically pushing their own religious agenda as they go abroad and causing problems. But this is really a group that has gained a lot of attention in the media tends to divert attention from a tremendous number of Korean missionaries that are going abroad, Protestant and Catholic, that are doing tremendous work, social work especially, in some of the poorer countries. I think that's what other countries are seeing. That's sort of their experience of Korean religions, rather than seeing within Korea a model of religious dialogue.
So the exciting thing for Korea this year is that Pope Francis will visit South Korea in August. What do you anticipate Pope Francis will emphasize or focus on during his scheduled trip to Korea this August?
Well, if you look at the more or less the context of papal visits to Korea, you can see 1984 as sort of a focus on the church within Korea, sort of an internal focus, the celebration, beatification of the martyrs, also a sense of Korea as an established Catholic church within Asia, very important for Korea. If you look at 1989, Korea has the Olympics in 1988. It's really the globalization of Korea. Korea is sort of coming out into the world system, economic power, political presence. It's a different time already. And there the focus of Pope John Paul II was more on Korea as a missionary country and their role, their responsibility to play globally. Now, if you look at the upcoming trip in August, what you're looking at is a time when Korea really has changed dramatically. Korea is now a remarkable economic power. It's one of the nations that actually formed the Group of 20 in terms of financial coordination. It was accepted into the OECD, the Organization of Economic and Cooperation and Development, in 1999. It has really come to the fore as an important economic and political player. Ban Ki-moon is the head of the United Nations. Other Koreans or Korean Americans in very prominent global positions. So as the Pope comes to Korea in 2014, his message to Korea is going to be far different from 1984 and 1989. One of the messages I would assume he is going to speak is Korea's responsibility within the region. Keep in mind, Korea is going to be sponsoring the Asian Games in October of this year, 2014. Asian Youth Day is August 15th, the very day the Pope arrives. So I would expect that the Pope is going to be speaking more towards the Asian Catholic Church when he comes to Korea. Other issues, I think it could be very opportune, unfortunately, given the Sewol incident, the boating, the ship tragedy in Korea last week. It could also be a time of reconciliation, which I assume will be something that the Pope will be addressing, difficulty of that experience. Thirdly, I would expect that the Pope will be addressing wider issues of evangelization, given in part because of Korea's new identity as a missionary country. I would expect that the Pope will be emphasizing Korea's role, but also the need for global evangelization.
So we shouldn't be surprised that Pope Francis is going to Korea rather than a country like the Philippines as his first stop in Asia.
Well, these issues are difficult. I mean, that Korea has the Asian Games, Korea has the Asian Youth Day. That certainly fits in very well this year for going to Korea. I would suspect that the Pope will go to the Philippines in the next few years. I'd rather not think of this as a competition between the Philippines and the Koreans for trying to gain the Pope's attention. But I think there's also an element here of Northeast Asia and its importance for the Catholic Church. And the Pope going to Korea, very close to China, the Pope going to Korea just above to the side of Japan, this is very important globally for international relations, for the presence of the Church. There's a lot of implications to the Pope going to the Church in Korea that would be far different from going to the Church in the Philippines at this particular point. But I think also that if you look at Pope Francis's own life and his career, the difficulty of being not just a cleric, but a religious leader, both as a religious congregation in Argentina and then as cardinal in Argentina, his experience is very similar to what Cardinal Kim experienced in South Korea, very similar. So that when he goes to Korea, his experience resonates with what Korea has gone through in a way which is far different than his going to the Philippines. So I see that as very important for himself personally and for the Korean Catholic Church at this particular time.
You mentioned, you know, Korea's position in Northeast Asia and China and Japan, but how does Pope Francis, or how do you expect Pope Francis to deal with the North Korea question or addressing the brethren in North Korea, the Korean brethren in North Korea, when he visits Korea?
Assume that he will certainly include North Korea in many of his addresses. North Korea is actually a diocese of the South Korean Church. The South Korean Church is very active in trying to develop North Korean relations. And so this is certainly a priority of the Church in Korea, in South Korea. As the Pope addressing these issues, he generally does not address directly political issues, especially hotly contested political issues. He's a religious leader, and this Pope in particular has avoided many of those issues. Having had the experience in Argentina, I think he knows very well the difficulty of addressing these issues, but also knows very well and has a very clear idea of the Church's role in these issues. So I would expect that it would be more a matter a resolution or speaking to possible resolutions with North Korea, but more an issue of praying for the Church and praying for the Catholics and praying for the opening of North Korea.
Is there any other Jesuit or Catholic connections we should be, or any other themes we should be paying attention to when Pope Francis goes to Korea?
Well, I think these international events within Korea have implications far beyond simply the Catholic Church. What you're finding with the Catholic Church is there's been continued growth, right? Relatively 1% to 2% each year in terms of numbers in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church in Korea has changed from being basically a rural church, together with the urbanization of the country, into very much an urban church. Thirdly, the Korean Catholic Church is now extremely strong, not just in Daegu, its original home, very strong in Suwon and Seoul itself. So the Catholic Church has continued to change in Korea, and I think you're going to find a lot of attention given to the changing structure of Korea, and it's a remarkable strength of the Catholic Church. They've grown from roughly 2 seminaries in 20 years ago. Now I think they have 5 seminaries. Tremendous growth of the clergy, of the religious orders. So this is going to be of great interest. And I think you will find for the Church in Asia and possibly the Church in Latin America, there's going to be a lot of attention to Korea as a model, or Korea as a, looking back to the precedents and the experience of Korea, what it might say to other churches around the world. Secondly, in terms of an international event, I think there's going to be a lot of attention to Korea as, again, a global player and a global forum, where religion can play a role in a global forum, and where religion plays a positive role within a country. Again, there's a lot of attention to religion as divisive in other countries. I think Korea provides a more positive role there. And finally, whenever there's an international event in Korea, especially one that's going to draw attention like this international event, there's going to be questions of the role of China, the role of Japan, together with Korea in Northeast Asia. So I would expect that there is going to be a lot of attention given to political integration or political division at that time as well.
Father, thank you so much, Father Dennis McNamara. You've touched on so many great points and great themes that will come about connecting Korea and these big events that are coming up, the canonization of Pope John the 23rd and Pope John Paul II, as well as Pope Francis's visit to Korea in August. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.